Blog Talk Radio.
Hump day. It's Wednesday. We chilling. We all rested up after the holiday. Boys, how y'all feeling? Let my co-host get in here.
What up, world? It's your boy Bone. I'm good. Home boy.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Everybody's impressed.
What's going on?
Well, diggy that right now. We'll see a little later if he's refreshed or not.
You know, he doubled it up. That's a good thing.
Yeah, that is.
Usually he just gets his finger right.
You got two. So we'll start the show off like we always do, get into things. Hey, man, we've been off for a minute, so we're going to run right into it. With the end of the note, as we always do, first topic. I know y'all boys will be interested in this. NFL cracking down, enforcing discipline. The NFL suspends Hersey 6 games and fined him $500,000.
Who?
Hersey. Jim Hersey.
Okay.
Tuesday, Jim Hersey, the Indianapolis Colts owner, pleaded guilty to drinking and driving traffic stop back in March. Hersey is barred from team facilities, practices, and games, and cannot represent the Colts at the NFL meetings or events for these 6 games, for this time span. So he's basically been set aside as the owner for the 6 games he's suspended.
I mean, he's still getting a check, right?
He's the owner. What check he getting?
I mean, he's still making revenue.
But look, okay, see.
So really, you're not really taking anything other than his presence.
His power.
His presence.
He's taking my team.
Yeah, for 6 games, though. I mean, what's that?
What's that?
I got a VP. I got all these other people in place that I delegate this work to anyway. So how's he really affecting anything?
Man, these guys played Denver Broncos on Sunday.
His presence. He won't be able to be there to represent his team. I understand that. That's big for his players. That's big for his coaches. That's big for the franchise. I understand. But really.
Look, okay. We're going back to Sterling. I'm going back to Sterling.
Right.
You choose to punish me with something I paid for. I did this in the offseason. Now, granted, I did it. Okay, I did it. But how you gonna take my team away from me? I paid for this. That's like somebody saying, oh, "Well, I guess they do it though." I mean, you get caught drunk driving, they take your car. You pay for that. Man. I don't know. This.
It might come back down to what we were saying, like about the Germans the last time we was had that conversation. It might be when you sign on to buy these teams, it might be in the contract where the NFL has so much authority that they can, they have to, because they know where they can put these sanctions and enforce them without being able to, it's backed up by law.
So really what an owner is, when you buy a team, you just buying stock
into the NFL. Yeah, and Roger Goodell is the old overseer.
That's how I was going to break it down. It's like, okay, yeah, you may buy the team, but that team is a part of an association, which governs that association however they want to govern.
Right.
Oh, no, that's a lot of money to be told what you can and can't do. That's a lot of money.
But it's accountability, too, because the NFL is a brand, and they want a certain outlook on their brand. So inside of that, I guess, you just have to be mine as a owner.
Yeah. Basically, you know what you're getting yourself into before you get started, basically.
And on the backside of that, Broncos wide receiver, Wes Welker,
mm-hmm.
suspended for 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
Late Tuesday, Wes Welker, Denver Broncos wide receiver, was found in violation of the NFL's performance-enhancing drug policy. ESPN reported Welker's suspension had to do with
amphetamines.
Hey, man, I'm sorry, I'm country. I can spell it.
Dope.
I can write it.
He dope. Real dope. Yeah.
Welker's suspension, which he referred to as clearly flawed, will cost him roughly $760,000 in base pay and base salary.
$760,000, 4 games, right?
Yeah, 4 games. $706,000.
That I can understand. I mean, I understand the first one, but with an owner, I feel it's a little bit different. I mean, yeah. But Wes Welker, the kicker is he said he didn't know. How did you not know?
Well, what he's claiming is it wasn't his specimen.
Oh.
That's why he's saying it's clearly flawed. He's saying the system is flawed. Basically, they get bad specimens. They get bad specimens and test for the wrong people. That's what he's trying to say.
So who's on the wrong?
He's trying to say he didn't come up high at all.
Oh, okay.
When he peed, it wasn't him because he ain't done nothing. And anybody that's played with him, know him, know he don't do that.
Well, who ain't supposed to say that, though?
Okay. He said what he's supposed to say. Deny.
But this ain't mine? That's your answer? This ain't mine. You got somebody else DNA you testing because that ain't mine.
And the difference is Jim Hersey, the owner of the Colts, pleaded guilty to his offense and knew what he was getting. You have Welker here who could have, we don't know for sure.
We don't know.
But either way, if he's going to take the suspension. I think he's already appealed it and then it came back.
They appealed it?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to make that stand, though. You can't. If you let him pass just because he say it ain't mine and he fights.
Everybody
in the league.
And just because you who you say you are. And you've been seeing that, hey, man. You don't know.
I would be interested if it was Tom Brady Peyton,
right?
How they would handle
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But what would the league do?
Would we know?
You wouldn't. I don't think you would. I don't think.
I'm surprised that we know about Welker. And I think it comes back to now the discipline that's being enforced in the league. See, because you got Alden Smith, you got 9 games, right?
Yep.
You got Gordon got a year. Then you got Ray Rice knocked his wife out.
2 games.
2 games. And you got this dude just got in trouble for San Francisco with domestic violence.
And don't forget about them Bell and them boys out of Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
They ain't came back yet. And I mean,
they ain't came back with a decision yet.
Why do we keep making these stupid decisions?
I don't know.
I mean, I understand we're human and life happens, but come on, dog. You're sad. You're playing a game you love for life.
You would think that'd be motivation enough
to just keep your nose
clean.
But it kind of go back to what we said the other day, too, though. Just because they get money don't mean they're different than you or I. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they put their pants on one pant leg at a time, too.
Look, I know plenty of regular people. Everybody I know regular.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know no millionaires. We regular people. If they on probation, they got to take a P-test or
right.
a job. Or just because they feel whatever. I know a lot of people who would like to, but refrain for the simple fact.
By the law.
The repercussions is too much. I don't want to deal with that. So if you're going to be a regular person, just accept the repercussions of what? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I get that, but... You making millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars to play a game, man.
Well, it's millions because it's just 4 games and you're losing $750,000.
In four games. He making 4 weeks. What it might take us 40 years to make.
That for me puts it on a whole
that, that changes everything.
That changes everything for me.
I'm not
that really, it does. That changes everything for me. That alone should make you. I would be careful how I wipe my nose. I hate to say it.
You
know what I'm saying? But I'm gonna stay out of harm's way as much as possible. Now, somebody all right in my circle might mess up and do something that I'm associated with it. But that's the only way you're gonna be able to get me.
Yeah, it won't be me.
It won't be me.
Do that once.
Yeah, because after that, I'm cutting them off.
You gonna look at that one time?
One time.
Hey, okay, look, I know you, but during the season, I don't know you, man.
Right.
Not if you, we can't do that.
And the way things I got now, when the season's not in, I don't know you, Chris. Look at Manziel. We heard about him the whole offseason.
It's crazy. So the owner gets 6 games.
6 games and $500.
The player gets 4 games.
4 games. But I think, you know what, when I'm looking at it now, it's probably coming more down to how much they hurt in their pocket.
Really? That's the only way.
Because they gave him $500,000.
Look, you're gonna take from Ursa in one game what you take from
through
the whole season.
Yeah.
So for him to miss 6 games if he was getting penalized in his pocket, like if he wasn't getting paid them 6 games,
right.
Oh man.
Which speaks to that $500,000 not really being
nothing. No, it's nothing. It's the simple.
It's more a pride thing. You can't
exactly.
deal with his team.
You telling me what I can't do? That hurts more. $500,000. I ain't worried about that. If I'm Ursa, at least I think I ain't. I don't know how much he make, but.
Nah, man, that stadium got a hold at least. It got to be over 50,000 people in that. It's a dome, right?
Yeah. And you figure.
Now,
just on the low
head. Yeah, just the head coming in, you got over $500,000.
Of course.
Now, we ain't talking about concession stands.
That's $10 a ticket. If it's a $50,000 stadium, if we got 50,000 seats, at $10 a ticket,
yeah,
$500,000.
And we know it's more than
$10. We know you ain't paying $10 a ticket to get in there. Well,
then you gotta look at it. He paid.
Now that we talking about outfield, so I don't need one of them.
No, I don't either.
Whatever. I don't care, man. Look how much you making and you acting stupid. And then go ahead.
And I was just going to say, Jim Hersey is paying a salary probably bigger than that one that was what is losing.
He got to be. He's probably, the owner.
Yeah. Crazy. Anyway, I think it's big up that they're cracking down on it, though, because you don't want to get this running rampant. What we're seeing now, because we didn't used to see this.
And I like that you're not just penalizing certain people.
It's all
you're penalizing everybody. So
yeah.
I can dig that. I can dig that. Goodell better stay clean.
That's, yeah, yeah. Now, he one can't do nothing.
He can't do nothing.
Goodell can't do nothing. Nothing. This next topic, man, this next topic is a little disturbing. I've seen this a while back. Then I came across it again when I was looking for it in the note. Check this out. Parents of a girl in Uzi accident devastated by life-changing tragedy. The family of a 9-year-old girl who accidentally shot her gun instructor when she lost control of a powerful Uzi submachine gun said they are devastated that the brief excursion on their summer vacation turned into a life tragedy. The girl's father was the first one in the party to handle a weapon after the family on vacation took a shuttle from Las Vegas to a range. Once arriving, the girl, her parents, sister, and brother took a monster truck ride before heading to the shooting range. So it was kind of like a, you know, outing, get together. After the father fired shots, the instructor instructed the 9-year-old daughter on how to shoot the gun, showed her how to, showed her a shooting stance, and helped her fire a few rounds. Tragedy struck when the instructor stepped back and let her hold the Uzi by herself. She fired the gun, and its recoil reacted. The Uzi up, it really say wrenched, but I didn't want to say that, but I'm going to say it. It does. Its recoil wrenched the Uzi upward, killing the instructor with a shot to the head. The girl later said that the impact was too much for her. It was hurting her shoulders. And it was too much. I'm trying to figure out why was a 9-year-old shooting it, period.
At all. Don't you got to be a certain age to even walk in a range?
No. They yeah. have, no, you don't. They have classes for young children. I could take my 8-year-old to the range right now. He can shoot just about anything in that he wants right now.
This is stupid.
You see, I didn't know that.
I mean, somebody's dead. Somebody lost their life over this. It was his job. I get it. No disrespect to him, his family, or any of that. But let's be serious.
Yeah.
A 9-year-old holding a Uzi? You give the average adult man
a Uzi.
And he don't know what he's doing. Like, come on, dog. This is not a toy.
I don't understand really who... where the reasoning was and thinking she could hold that.
Where's the fun in that? That's not fun for a 9-year-old. Well, it might be fun for a 9-year-old. It shouldn't be fun for other parents.
Right.
That's not fun. That's not your type of fun. We ain't doing that.
I would personally be terrified to let my child hold something that serious.
Yeah.
Better of a, you know, for the lack of a better word. I mean,
it could have been a 22. That's not for you. I don't care what caliber
gun,
gun
period.
Is.
Yeah.
It's a gun. Why are you giving a 9-year-old a gun?
Then on top of that, You they said the first shot was done on was just a single shot. Then when she lost control was when they put it on semi-automatic, which I don't understand. And I'm pretty sure from the first shot you had to see the recoil kind of throw her or something.
They probably laughed at it. It was funny.
Yeah.
Because you expected that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you got this little girl holding this big gun and she fired.
And she's scared. And now she don't know what to do but go along with what's going on.
Then you switch it to semi.
You switch it to semi? That's got to be the dumbest damn idea. Anybody in that group.
If giving another gun wasn't bad enough.
If that wasn't bad enough. You know,
okay,
you leave your own
signal.
I don't want to see
that. No, I don't
want
to see that.
So it was a single shot.
Yeah, the first one.
The first one. Then... somebody had the great idea to put it on semi and not at least stand behind her and hold the
right.
gun, you know, until she get used to the recoil.
She ain't getting used to the recoil.
You can't. You're
at
not.
Nine, yeah.
You're not going to get used to the recoil. I'm sorry for the loss of the family.
Right. That's
yeah.
why it's hard to comment on.
I'm sorry for the young girl who's going to have to live with this tragic accident for the rest of her life. But there's a lot of people at fault in that circle right
yeah.
now. It's a lot of people. It wasn't just the instructor. It was a horrible accident, but the instructor was at fault. The parents were at fault. Somebody should have have better sense than to do that.
Listen, honestly, let's just be honest. The parents should be brought up on some kind of charge. Neglect, I don't care what you bring them up on, but that's just dumb. Honestly.
I agree. I think it's irresponsible. I don't see where that becomes discouraging. I get all of it. You want out? I wouldn't even, me personally. Now this is my personal preference. I wouldn't shoot a weapon in front of my kids. I wouldn't take them to the range to see me shooting one, because now you open the door to them being curious to it. I said before, I'm totally against guns, so that's my stance. But I understand those that choose to, but I don't think we should bring kids. It goes back to like when we was growing up. Kids, you stay in a kid's place, and grown people stay in their place. You know what I mean? You don't get in a grown place.
Now, you said something just then that made me backtrack a little bit, because I remember, you know, on New Year's, 4th of July.
We just shoot. Yeah, we
you
shoot.
You know, it'll give you the 38, it'll give you the little shotgun, go out there and pop a couple off. Same scenario, really.
Yeah.
9, 10 years old, we out in the, because we live in the country, you just walk out the back door, or hell, to walk out the front door, pop a couple off, and you feel like you done something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ain't nobody gives no AK, though. They gave her a Uzi, though. I mean, and I ain't making excuses for us, because it's wrong all the way around.
Yeah, because I said, yeah. AK could have done the same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it's wrong all the way around. If you look at it, and not looking back when we was blessed, but being in that situation, when you think about it, doing that made us warm.
Yeah, it did. Couldn't wait till I could
yeah.
get
one. I can't wait.
I don't know, man. That's a tough situation, man. I more than anything, I pray for the little girl. I hope she can. I know you won't get over it. You kill somebody. You know what I mean?
Right.
For,
yeah.
There's no other way to put that. Like, somebody's life is gone, and it was because of something I did. At nine years old, that's a lot to put on somebody.
It is. It's a lot. And like they said, it's a life changing tragedy that you're stuck with at nine forever. You know, our prayers and thoughts go out to both ends. The family that lost their loved one, and also to the family of the little girl, because we all made bad decisions and we learned from them. But I guess it goes back to the same thing we were saying in the football. We just have to be accountable and be more mindful. Once you even being a parent, as minute as we may think it is, because you come so accustomed to it, it's a responsibility.
Yeah.
It's a responsibility, and the responsibility with being a parent is probably more important for me than the responsibility of being an athlete, professional athlete.
No question.
Because you can deter your children from falling behind professional athletes if you raise them the right way from your own understanding.
Yeah.
But, like I said.
That's tough.
Yeah, it is. But our prayers and thoughts go out with both sides of the family. And on a good note, we'll close up the end of the note with this one. I know Bona like this. I kind of enjoyed it myself. He's like, hey, I root for my boy. He's a funny looking cat, but hey, that's my opinion. Gabriel Union and Miami Heat, Dwayne Wade getting married.
He's a funny looking cat.
Hey, listen, that's just me, man. I had to get off on the tangent. Some people may say I'm funny looking. Okay, that's fine. I got what I need. He got what he needs. And we good. Yeah. The 41-year-old actress and the 32-year-old NBA pro said their I do's in front of friends and family in Miami.
Oh, shit.
41. I didn't know they were that far apart.
Okay. Keep going.
I didn't know that. John Legend serenaded the couple with his hit single, All of Me. I thought that was a good thing, man. I root for Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade is a cool dude. I don't really know him personally, but from what I know of him, from the aspect of, you know, just seeing him and seeing him in interviews and stuff like that, I sit down and chop it up with D-Wade. I really would. And besides the fact that what I seen him be able to do by stepping out of the spotlight and giving up his team for the sake of the collective whole, I commend him and his character, and I just root for him. So if he got Gabriel Union, if anybody was going to get out, I'd probably be a little upset, but I go for my boy. And like I said, I root for the underdog. I'm a small man. So, you know, sometimes I don't get in where the big boys get in. So when a funny-looking cat, in my opinion, gets a pretty woman, I'm down for that.
You made this thing personal.
Yeah, man. I had to justify him getting gay bird union for me.
Okay. Oh, okay then. That's what we're doing.
I caught that a little minute ago.
So that
check this out, man.
Good, bro.
Check this out. Okay. I'm a Dwayne Wade fan. I am a Miami Heat fan. So, you know, I'm happy for him. I'm glad, you know, they tied the knot. They made it official.
I heard a butt coming in.
Personally, I would like to see more, you know, I don't know how to say this, so I'm going to just say it.
Say it.
You know, athletes that go into the league, either married or with someone that was with them prior to them getting successful in money. I would like to see, I personally feel like the scale is a little off on that as far as how many stick with their
yeah.
Or those that, you know, take, you know, part in the opportunity
yeah.
To upgrade. I would like to see them, you know, stick it out a little more, but hey,
I like that.
Well, if you do that, then you have all the stars marrying regular people.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
We give birth to more stars. Yeah. I mean, you know, why
could you be married to a star?
Could I be?
Yeah.
I am married to a star.
Oh, damn. Oh, damn. Damn.
Damn.
Damn.
Boy, I am married to a star.
You done had me.
Well,
bro.
You didn't say it twice by that one.
Yeah, because you had the boy.
So?
I'm just keeping it real, baby. You know, well, I love you, but I'm just keeping it real.
You know, but
yeah,
you know,
going in.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
argument's sake, you know, I could see myself married to a, you know, Taraji P or completely different, but Nicki Minaj.
Nah.
I could see that. I could hold him down.
Mm.
But I'm okay.
Like I said in the beginning, he's married to a star.
I'm married to a star.
Keep your star.
There you go.
What they going to see? What's your looking for?
Hey, man, congratulations. Happy life. Happy everything to you. Best wishes. Hey, you choose. That's who you love, marry.
Marry, yeah.
It's on you.
Yeah, they seem like they're happy together. But what's in the best? I mean, anytime you see some two people coming together, and it's because of love. It's the biggest thing. So it was D-Wade and the beautiful Gabriel Union. The best of happiness in their marriage.
Was LeBron there?
No, I don't think so.
One thing I would like to say is I would like to see more celebrity couples pattern themselves after, you know, maybe a Jada and Will. You don't really hear much about them. When you see them, you probably see them separate
mm-hmm.
doing interviews or this, that, and the third, but you see them together out, but you don't hear none of that crazy stuff about them too much.
Well, lately you did, but even with that, they
brushed it off.
They brushed it off and they kept moving. You know what I'm saying? I would like to see, you know, just be talking about it. Jay-Z and Beyonce, I want to see how this work out. Are they just going to take the easy route
right.
and divorce it on out? Or are they going to tough it out? You know, I'm interested to see that. You know, with Mariah.
And Nick. I think that's a done dog.
It is done. It's done. They talking million-dollar divorce.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
you know who money that is.
That's mostly hers. He got the headphones. He got, you know, America's Got Talent. You know, he still
he got
producing.
His own production company.
Yeah.
All them shows on, he got a piece of them.
You know, so he got a little change of stuff. Now, he was smart about it.
So you think Beyonce and Jay-Z going to call it quits?
What they going to do?
I thought.
Tabloids have it going both ways. They presented themselves completely different at the VMAs than what the tabloids have been saying.
Okay, let's take a what you call this? What is this called? Let's take a soap opera moment. Okay. When you heard about the union, did you think it was going to work anyway? Honestly.
Jay-Z.
Did you think that was going to work? What did you think when you heard it? Let me put it that way.
You the lucky bastard. That's what I thought. Because, I mean, this is Beyonce we talking about.
So you feel like she settled?
She fell in love. You can't help who you fall in love with.
Yeah.
She fell in love with Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying? Good, wholesome Destiny Child member falls in love with gangster rapper. Popular. You can't go no higher than Jay-Z right now.
In the rap game.
The complete opposite of
it. Yeah. You know.
That's why I asked the question. What did you think when you heard it?
It made sense because Beyonce coming into her own, going solo, was at the top of female R&B. Jay-Z was at the top of rap game. I mean, it made sense.
It does. I mean, when I initially heard it in the beginning, when they was closed mouthed about it, I didn't think it really nothing to it. I didn't think she was really dating. I just couldn't see her with it. I'm just being honest. I just thought it was just talk. And then after they kept it quiet and they lasted as long as they did, I kind of admired it because they kept their business to themselves. And most of the managers that work, because I was going to point out earlier, if you look at Denzel and his wife, which is his childhood sweetheart, you hardly hear anything about it.
People don't, if she popped up on TV right now, nobody would
know
who
she
is.
Exactly. And that's another one of those instances where you see a couple marrying outside of the fame and being able to keep it that way. Because Denzel is really, by all accounts, probably a sex symbol to every woman, black woman I know.
Yeah, I think so.
Imagine how hard it has to be for him to be a husband and a married man and dodge that temptation. But you never heard about Denzel really getting in.
Man, no, does he know what he's doing?
Yeah.
If you can keep your marriage quiet for all them years, you can keep a whole lot of stuff quiet.
I don't even think I knew he was married until halfway out of high school or maybe out of high school. I just never seen no wife. And then somebody was like his wife. I think it was like the Oscars or something. When I first realized he was married. And I was like, oh, let me see what his wife looks like. And now I'm not saying his wife is ugly.
That ain't what you think of when you think right. Like that.
You see the lead lady in his movie. And his wife she's a nice looking lady, but
average Jane.
Yeah. School teacher look. Nothing wrong with that.
Great at all.
Yeah. Natural. But that shows you something in Denzel's character too. That's
right.
The simpleness in him.
Right. Which, you know, portrays in his persona.
Right.
You know, he's
when
big
and
light
yeah.
on the screen, but really, you know, you don't really hear a whole lot
about
it.
Yeah.
You keep it on the low.
Think about it. When you see him, and I know we gotta close this out, but when you see him outside of a role or a major event, a show or something like this, when have you ever seen him like? He's always in like a t-shirt and
jeans
or jogging pants.
And,
or,
a cap.
It's like,
yeah.
If you don't know who he is, you think he ain't got nothing.
Right. If he wasn't as recognized as he is,
You would think that's just the average black man.
Yeah.
That I respect.
I think that's why we relate to him. Even in the parts he plays, it's still that down-to-earth dude there.
That's why Training Day was so out of character. Because he blew up and
right.
That ain't this bad, man. Anyway, congratulations, Gabrielle Union.
Congratulations.
Go Heat.
I think he should just go on and take a whole 3-year honeymoon. Just go on and chill on that.
Just to retire?
Just
go on and
chill
on
3-year honeymoon.
In the sunset. We'll get off it. Did he sign back with Heat? Did he ever decide to sign?
I don't know.
I ain't never hear that. I thought he did at the Bosch, right?
Yeah, he did
at the Bosch. Yeah,
inside of my league, basketball. We on football season,
now. So we're going to leave that alone. It's done deal. Well, we'll close up the end of the note, man. I hope you enjoyed it. We're moving to today's title of today's show. Moving to that. Today's title is life. And in general, I'm going to be honest with you. We are, there's no really destiny, no direction. We just finna go into talking about life. So, with that, I guess I've been nominated, Tito me, or...
Yeah, go kick it off.
To kick this off. So I kicked it off, and I was sitting there, I was thinking about it. So, had some free time, and I wrote something. So, if you give me a minute, I'll shoot this to you. Tell me how you like it, or whatever. Just me going inside myself. The title is Life. It is unexpected, yet it is destined. A journey that is limitless. a guarantee of an incomprehensible sum. It is inevitable, a fulfillment of uncertainty, the search within the now, a departure to forever. An introduction not needed, existence, individual legacy on its own. For me, life is an exceptional experience. Life is authentic in its delivery. It's everything that you can't see, but you're in. Inside of understanding that I went through life for a long, long time, not even knowing I was in it. One day, God said, whispered to me in my ear, I love you. And it changed everything. It changed everything for me. So for me, when I look at life, I see life as love. And being able to conceptualize life as love for me has made life easier. Because in understanding that if it's love, I have to give love. So in giving love, I'm never putting myself in a position where I can be seen or judged in a way that my heart ain't satisfied. You know, it's okay if you don't understand where I'm coming from. But for me, if it's from my love, I'm good. And I'm going to push on. I think life comes in different forms. It comes in the form of, like I said, the departure to forever and the being in the being in the now. When we're in the now, we miss life. We don't even know we're in life. When you understand, and this is totally my point of view and my opinion, when you understand that it's a departure to forever, you start to walk in it differently because you want to get to forever. But you understand to get to forever, it takes life. Before that point, and this is me talking totally from a personal standpoint, because before I got to that understanding, before that point, I was in life, but I was in the now. I wasn't going nowhere. I wasn't preparing myself to go nowhere. I was just here. And that's why I always say, you can be living every day. And I honestly believe I was walking around here dead. When God whispered in my ear, I love you, it changed everything. Because at that point, I understood you have loved me. That's why I was able to hear it today. In that moment when he told me, it was your love that carried me to this point. Because if it wasn't, I wouldn't accept it. Now I'm hearing it. I'm accepting it because I know what I felt. Yeah. And then from that day forth, it went from me being in and out to living to depart to forever. And when I say departure to forever, I mean as if I'm setting myself up for the ultimate glory, which is not in life. Life is a testament to Derek. There's no joy in that for Derek. Everybody else can testify to what I did or what I did or what they see out of me. There's no joy in that for me. I can hear you say, man, dang, man, you really turned your life around. Dude, you're looking good and all that. And I hear it. But it makes me feel better, but it doesn't really alter the way I'm walking in my life and how I'm going to do things. So testifying and setting myself up for that forever is ultimately what I have. What I'm giving the world right now is my testimony. And in doing so, I'm making sure I put love in it. So when I leave, even when I'm not here, my love will live on. That's the only thing you can give a person. Think about it this way. We've all encountered loss. And mostly loss of someone close to us. You know what I'm saying? When you lose them, what hurts most is because their love stays with you. It's the fact that you can't see the love, see them to reflect the love back to you. But you always hold their love, and that's what hurts. Because that's what you have to hold on to. So that's the most important thing I can give anybody in life, is love. So for me, if I solidify my whole life around love, I'm all right.
Hell of a perspective.
But you know me in love, man. I'm in love with love. I'm in love with love. But when I was thinking about it and I was going through it and I ran it through my mind, it's funny how certain topics or subjects can transcend you in your own mind to a whole another place. Like, I never even understood the fact that It wasn't when God said what he said to me. It was what he said to me that changed. It was the fact that he said, I love you. And at that moment, I recognized, no, you don't love me now. You love me all the time. You love me to this point. That's the only reason I accept you. So if that's the least I can give to the people I encounter in life, that's life to me. That's life. Because it took me 16 years, and one day, my whole life changed. So I can now personify that every day from my own point of view because I understand it.
That's what's up.
But I ain't gonna hog up the mic. Y'all told me to start it off. I started it off. I mean, if y'all want to chime in on that or come in on what y'all aspect is, because the thing is, all of us gonna see it differently anyway. Probably gonna come back to the same thing.
Eventually.
Yeah. Probably gonna come back to the same thing, but we all gonna have a different spin to what life represents for us. You ready to go?
I'll just, on your perspective that I can see how the same thing that love was your catalyst in order for you to appreciate or receive the love that you had already been getting all your life, but it took a moment of, I don't know, I wasn't there with you, I would think, a moment of weakness to where the only thing that could pull you out of that weakness was the love of God or the love of somebody. So, yeah, I can see that. How that, you know, they say he'll send you, you know, you will come to him at your lowest moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If I was at my lowest moment, I could see love pulling me out.
Yeah.
Well, you know me.
Go ahead, T.
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to come back to you. But in just thinking about what we were talking about today, I thinking about life on a broad scale is hard for me. It's hard for me because it's like, okay, that encompasses everything. How do I narrow this down to one specific definition or one defining thing about life? And I was able to by asking the question. I think I came across this online. It was something like 50 questions to ask yourself that will change your life or something like that. And the question was, if someone told you that life stopped at 40, how would you live it? Me personally, I think time is what skews life. So I broke that down and said, well, what if somebody told me there was definite that tomorrow would be my last day here. Some space in the world tomorrow, at some point in time tomorrow, your life is done. What would today mean? What would I do in today? What would be that last thing that I want to do? Then it brought me to the question, well, what? I don't know when that time is. It could be tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Like, what if it is tomorrow? What am I doing with today? That's what brought life in a whole other perspective for me. Just at like 3 o'clock this afternoon. I'm thinking about what we was going to talk about. Feeling like we have time to get it right, even if somebody say I love you, I have time to conceptualize that. I have time to see what you mean. I have time to see what that means to me. I have time to see what I'm going to do about it. But what if you don't have time?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like this time thing has thrown, I'm going to speak for me personally, off because I always got tomorrow. And I sit here all the time and say, tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow don't exist, but I always got tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I can always do that procrastinate. So what if I started taking every second of every moment as though it's my last? What would life mean then? Never mind what it has meant up to this point, because I've had time and I've let time slip and done nothing with time. Because I got more time. Now I don't got no more time. I'm all out of time. Time that ran out. Now what? That's what I said too.
Yeah. Yeah, because everybody's sitting off in thought, and it puts me back to that when I was saying, like, I was in the now.
Yeah.
I couldn't see tomorrow, couldn't think about tomorrow, wasn't thinking about it, was now. And being stuck in the now, and see, that's a good point, because time is relevant. It's very relevant in life. And we said this on, I think it was the last show, when we was talking about, like, if you go back to the Bible, you really don't see an age on individuals. So it was never that preconceived idea, oh, the average man lives to be 40, 50, 60, however the age is now. You know what I'm saying? Because I always hear these statistics, because in the line of work and social work, you hear it a lot. Like, in the 50s, the average age for adults is like 50. Late 40s, middle 40s, 50. That's how long people live. You know what I mean? And they're saying, they, as in quote-unquote, experts, researchers say, and credit it to healthier living. Finding out certain things we shouldn't be eating, exercise helps, all those things. I'm not sure that's true. I believe we all come here because I believe in God, and I believe we all come here with a written plan. We just are actors in our own stage play that God has written for us, and we kind of play it out. So that means if he's written it, it's an end.
We don't have to.
Right. So with that, yeah, T, I totally agree. And when you put that in perspective, you draw time and love into it. And like you say, if you don't get the time part, just because you get the love, you're still stuck.
Exactly.
You have to get the time, because we've all been in a position where we knew someone loved us, or we loved someone, and we was mad at them one day. And we'll say, well, I'm going to let them soak on it, and tomorrow I tell them. You know, that's cool. And that's time.
That's time.
That's the fault of being able to have that time limit there, or that safety net.
Like, think about it this way. If your life that you've lived thus far didn't have a value, and when I say value, I mean a numerical value on it. You didn't have an age. We didn't have no way to keep the time of the day. You didn't know how long you have been here on this earth, and you don't know how long you go. How would you be living your life right now if you didn't know that you were 36? You just know I'm here.
Every moment accounts.
How would I live in the moment? Can't nobody tell me this how I'm supposed to act at 35. I ain't supposed to have this by 35. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just here. I'm inclined to believe how I look at things will change, and how you look at me change, because now you have no expectation for me other than what I am.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong. You can't never say that anything is wrong with anybody, because all they're doing is using their time.
Mm-hmm. We wouldn't use time.
We ain't using time. All
it's hard to get away from.
They're using their existence.
Using their existence. However, they see fit. Yeah. And what is wrong with that?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
That's the good point, T. Because that's where I'm trying to position myself to be on an everyday walk.
It's hard.
Because
you've been seen in the condition that at 7 o'clock I got to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And that on July 31st I got to do this. And Christmas is that day. And everything is marked by a number. Everything. All the way down to how much money in your pocket.
Yeah.
Everything has a value. It's a number. Take the numbers away. I know it's hard to live in society, live in this world, and not worry about the numbers. But if I can wrap my brain around this concept, I'm pretty sure that life is just going to be totally. If I wasn't unpredictable before, if I can wrap my brain around this concept, all you would be able to do when you see me, like, where we been?
Yeah.
When I'm going to see you again, man, hey, I don't know. I don't know. I can't tell you. Nothing
right.
Other than I'm here right now.
The beauty in that would be every time I see you, I cherish you.
Because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's what we lost.
Everything.
That's what we lost. Anyway, that was my opening to life. What you got?
Hell of an opening.
That was deep. I got to follow that.
Yeah. Hell of an opening.
Well, you know, for me, you know, when thinking about life, for me, I think about the misconception that life is supposed to be easy. You know, no one said life was supposed to be easy. And to be honest with you, if your life is easy, to my opinion, you're at a disadvantage. Yeah, we all want the easy life, but those that reach that pinnacle of the easy likeness, they go through some struggles. They go through some setbacks. They go through some hang-ups. You know what I'm saying? That path to that success was not straight and narrow. It had some hills. It had some valleys. It had some sharp turns, some detours. What I had to gain from life is that through life experience is that that's what God intended for us. I saw you referenced the internet. I saw the internet. It was just a simple image, stick figures. You know what I'm saying? On the top it said, my path as I see it. No, I'm probably misquoting. It had a straight line, a little stick figure walking down a straight line. Underneath it, it had my path as God sees, and it had the line was zigzagged, it was going down sharp, straight back up, you know, broken and put back together. That's what God intended. He intended for us to go through those struggles in order to get us to where ultimately He wants us all beside Him. He understands that we have to go through these struggles in life in order to find ourselves, in order to, you know, we get beat down and we pick ourselves back up. That makes you stronger. That makes you a better person. That doesn't make you weak. That doesn't make you unlucky. That makes you a human being. That makes you one of God's children, and that's going to eventually make you a better person. Life.
Life.
I totally agree. I've learned for myself through my own experiences that life is a continuous journey. It's not a journey that ends when you think I'm there. Because for a long time, and we said this all the time, I thought it was going to be a point where I could say I arrived. I don't want to arrive, though. Because if I arrive, what am I taking out of that? I don't get nothing no more. And in life, I see the struggles, the tribulations, the trials. I see all that there for me to be prepared for whatever I'm going to encounter next. And I'm okay with that. And being okay with it changes the outlook of it, because now it's not bad anymore. Well, we've been trained to think, oh, man, you're struggling, man. I hate struggling. I ain't so mad with struggling anymore. I learned something from struggling. I learned something from struggling I wouldn't learn if I thought I had a ride. Because when I was in the now, I thought I had a ride. I was there. That's why I wasn't doing nothing else. In my mind, I was there. But God was showing me, no, you won't go through something. And that's the thing, too, Bone. Even those who think they got an easy life, if the easy is what you call it, then it's not life. Because life has to be hard for it to be worthwhile. It has to be. That's why I love saying it's hard, but it's fair. I said it for years, didn't even understand it. Just said it because my grandma told me it. And it sounded good. But when you position it and put yourself in that understand, yes, it's hard, but it's fair. What you're going through, he's going through. That's life. If you get found in that, you lose the matrix of society. You know, so that's the hard part.
We're on this challenge thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to be my day for. I'm grateful for my struggle. I'm grateful for the struggle. Because without the struggle, the accomplishment or anything else that comes after that wouldn't mean nothing.
Nothing at all.
But I didn't do it because I didn't want it to sound negative.
No.
But it's funny, we sit here talking about struggle and you talking about the path and you saying God, and I'm putting all this together. And all the time in my going to Sunday school and hearing about church and all of that, one of the most famous sayings about the devil is he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Mm-hmm. Now, I've always visioned that as he wants me not to be here no more, mm-hmm. which that could be. But it ain't got to be limited to that. Because as I'm hearing you talk about struggle, and I'm hearing you talk about this and that and the third, that kill word, life, the opposite of life is death.
Mm-hmm.
I can go through, like you say, I can go through life dead.
Mm-hmm. You kill what you're in life.
I'm physically living, but I'm dead. Because he's winning. Mm-hmm. He's been winning the whole time. And that's his job. Daily, his job is to, if it's 10 years that I ain't never do nothing with, you killed me all in 10 years.
Yeah.
I died every day of them 10 years because I ain't do nothing with the time I had. I ain't do nothing with my space. So it ain't the ultimate death so much. It could be that, but what about when he walking beside you and you breathing? You think he walking beside you waiting to set you up? No, he working right there. We don't give him the not only want to say the attention. We don't have the understanding of him that we need to have to combat him.
Yeah,
to recognize.
He wants us spiritually dead.
Yeah.
And if it means killing you, I kill you. But I just want you spiritually dead.
Right.
You're more value to me
spiritually dead
than you are dead. Because you can pass on, that death is almost contagious.
Yeah.
You spiritually dead, you working with me. And don't even know it.
Yeah.
Who went?
Hmm.
If you working with and for me, I like the fact that you're breathing.
I want you breathing.
Yeah.
I need you breathing.
Yeah, you think you living.
So, I'm going to go back to, I'm really going to try to wrap my brain around this and just grab the concept of this. Okay, tomorrow is my last day.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds morbid and it sounds whatever, but whatever it takes for me to get it, hey, you ain't going to be here tomorrow. So, what you going to do today? What limit can you put on life at that point?
What limit?
What can you say, I can't, I'm afraid, whatever words, I'll do it tomorrow, and you ain't going to be here tomorrow. Ain't no more procrastination, ain't no more fear, ain't no more nothing that keeps me from living.
If you conceptualize that, you put yourself in a position where everything you do and every moment you in counts. Not counting your calls ain't the issue no more because it's nothing to count. It goes back to taking the value out of it.
Exactly.
It goes back to taking the value out of it because now without a value on it, you're just doing it.
You just do it.
You just do it. That's a beautiful undertaking to have, man.
Look how hard it is to do that. I could talk about it right now. 50 minutes from now, I'd be like, damn, we done wasted 50 minutes because I'm right back in time.
But the thing is with it, though, with that, what we understand is, because like we said, if Bud is able to kill us spiritually, you never get that understanding.
No, you can't. It's possible.
So getting the understanding is a step to get to where you need to be, which means you connect. At some point, or some... in some manner or form, you connect it to where you need to be.
Your spirit.
Yeah.
Your spirit is not dead. You may have been suffocated, may have been on the way out, but if you can understand that, your spirit is alive somewhere. Now, how do we feed it? Everything living got to eat.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. It's true. I would say, and then this is what I want to make this clear. I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. Make mistakes. I fall short. But I do try my hardest to eat from my Father's hand. And as long as I'm eating from his hand, I'm full. And it may not be a huge portion because he ain't going to give it all to me at once. I've learned that because for a long time, I thought everything was supposed to be right now. And understanding, you know, I'm going to feed you as I prepare you, which there go the struggles. So as long as I'm struggling, I'm never going to be satisfied eating from my Father, but that's the beauty. I'm going to forever be eating because he's not going to stop feeding me. So when you go into it and you look at it from the side, and that's why I say we've been trained to think morbid is bad. Because morbid, if you look at morbid for what it's worth, what's wrong with if
it's balanced.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's balanced. It makes me keep, I ain't got too much of this because that's still there, but yeah. I ain't worried about that because I got this.
Yeah.
It's that balance. And that's what life is about.
And but it's so entangled. But it doesn't entangle life so much.
Yeah, we will never get rid of this guy. He will never, ever leave. Never. He's not going away. But that don't mean he gotta win.
No, once we've recognized, and of course we've opened it up this conversation so others can chime in and hopefully get some kind of insight for themselves. You don't have to agree. That's fine. But this is our opinion. We open to hearing yours. You can call in.
718-664-9983.
We'd love to hear your opinions on life. Because I know everybody's opinion is different. But where I was going with it is conceptualizing that now we know Buddy exists was one of the biggest things for me. Because how could I figure out who exists when I was him? You know what I mean? It was hard to get out of that route because I was acting as him. I was him for so long. Remember that? Remember when we got it?
Yeah.
Remember when we got it, man? I was laughing at you.
I think it's what's the word I'm looking for?
Only right.
It warrants us telling the story.
Yeah.
Because somebody may feel this the way we felt it in that moment. So we stand here. And we talking, you know, when I say we, I'm talking about me and Derek, Dad, socially Dad. We talking and just talking about life, and somehow we got on the spiritual aspect of life, and God came up. And all the time we had thought about it before, anytime there was any spiritual conversation, it would only be God. There was nothing ever said about the devil, ever. So in having this conversation, I don't know how my mind got there. I don't know how it came up. But Derek was talking, and I had kind of just like left the conversation for a second because I got mad. All of a sudden, I'm mad for no reason. And I'm like, you know what? That's him. And he in the middle of the conversation. He talking about God, and I'm like, that's him. He's like, that's God. He's like, yeah, that's him. I'm like, no. I'm not talking about God. And I'm going to call him what I call him. I'm like, that's that nigga.
Yeah.
That's him. He's the one who had me lying to people for no reason. Like, I tell lies. I really don't have a reason to tell.
That's exactly what I think.
He started laughing, right? He started laughing at me. And I'm mad. So I kept talking like I do stupid. Like, this guy has been controlling me this whole time. And I don't even realize it. Here I am talking about God. And here I am talking about this, that, and the third. But then we'll lie to you in a minute. For no reason. Why would I do that?
I'm dying.
What sense does that make?
And he's standing talking to me like this, and I'm just dying laughing.
I'm cheating. All this stupid stuff I'm doing that I know I really ain't got no business doing, but I do anyway. I don't want to do half of this stuff, and I do it anyway. This guy really has control of me. So we keep talking. You know, I didn't snap out of it. Right. I got it in the back of my mind, snapped out, it came back to the conversation. And he was laughing. He was laughing. Ha, ha, ha. But yeah, I feel, because I be lying too. Look, see what he do now. I be lying to people too. He's like, whoa. That's him.
But it took that moment. Because I heard him say it for myself, and I thought it was funny. Then when I reflected what he was saying and came out with honest myself, I was like, whoa.
He got you too.
He got me too.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing the same thing. I'm laughing at you. But the reality is I'm laughing at Derek.
I'm sitting in the corner dying.
He was like, uh-huh.
Yeah, it was funny when I told you. But that's how this guy works, man. He works, and we don't even know he works. Anything that we do outside of what we know we should be doing, he's winning.
Yeah.
Just that simple. He has you in that moment, and he's probably had you for a long time because you did it and didn't even realize it.
because I'm sitting here thinking my damn self.
Yeah.
That's how slick he is. He has you.
He done had a hold on me for a while.
Yeah. And this is what me and T had to say. Cause when we first caught him, we thought we had us something. We was catching every chance.
Yeah.
We talking now. We like, that's what I knew. We just talking now. So it gets to the point where you think you got him.
Right.
But he's so clever.
He switched it up on you.
He's so clever. Yeah. Now he'll let you catch him and somebody else. But you don't catch him in yourself no more.
Oh, yeah.
Because he didn't switch up.
You calling it now.
Yeah.
You calling it somebody else.
Oh, you can't see it because you weren't there when me and Corey had the conversation.
There you go. All the time, he works field work. The guy will never leave. He will never, ever, ever leave. So having said that, that means I have to have something that can combat him that's stronger than me because I can't do it. And I have to have something that will never, ever,
leave. Because we initially, when we got it, we thought we was on to something. We was finna do it. Fell right on our ass.
That for me, let me tell you something. That for me right there just puts more on a person like Jesus or Martin Luther King that willpower, that strength that it would take for someone to literally just be all God. Just all God. Just all God. Is either that for me is simple but difficult.
Life.
Simple but difficult. You know, it's simple. Once you understand it, once you see it, it's simple to understand, but yet it's difficult to pull off.
That means that every moment of my life, I have to be mindful.
Yes.
That there's a war. And
every
war,
second.
Every second
of
my
the
life,
day of your life.
There's a war.
And
the war is for you.
And realizing that, you also have to be unselfish enough to realize I have to lay it over to him.
I can't do it.
Because see, that's the struggle for me. I still catch Derek trying to do stuff where he shouldn't be trying to do it. And it's because, for one, that's going to be the struggle regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can go back and you can find certain instances, and I know a lot of people may not want to hear this, but it's my opinion. Well, you see God have the same struggle. I mean, not God, excuse me. Jesus have the same struggle. You see Dr. King have the same struggle. Because if...
The flesh.
They were human beings. They were human beings. And in that understanding, and I'm finna go here, and I usually wouldn't go here, but I'm going.
And will you be bringing me with you, because I'm ready.
In that understanding, saying that we're all human beings, and God, if Jesus walked, and he was a human amongst the disciples, and we are humans, what separates us? What separates Dr. King from us? What separates us from Jesus? What is the separation in that? I've researched it. I've looked to see it. What I've honestly found is things that make me more relatable to Jesus than I've been taught. Then the standpoint of Jesus is put on a pedestal.
And
I understand it, and rightfully so, Jesus should be worshipped and praised. I understand that. Dr. King should be also. They undertook something that we didn't understand, and they put their lives on the line for it, and it changed the world.
Right.
That's commendable.
Right.
That's totally commendable. But you can't tell me God didn't give me the same thing.
I'm going to go a step further than that. Not even a step further.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to just stay here for a minute.
Yeah.
I post a lot, and I know I don't go into detail about the post, but and it's because I can't in the moment. I just say what I feel, but I won't be in this moment where I am right now all the time. If Jesus had to look to God in his weakest moment, even in his strongest moments, every miracle he did, he said, by power of my father or whatever, I pray to him or I reference him in some shape, form, or fashion. I always have to go back to God. I'm Jesus, but I still have to go back to God. What power apart from God did Jesus have?
I didn't find one in my research.
Okay.
Now, the healing, the stories of him healing and bringing
yeah.
and all that is still warranted.
Yes, he did it. God used him to do it.
Right. And understanding that, that's where I said I threw that out there because I know that's where...
See, that's where it's going to get cloudy.
Right.
Because the moment I feel like this, and for those who don't understand, I'm sorry. I'm not saying what you think I'm saying. For those who can't grasp, and it's hard because it comes off kind of blasphemy. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? A little bit. Like, but that's not it. We're still given the power to God, which is God is God. I still reverence God through everything I'm mm-hmm. saying. If Jesus is my example, he didn't say God is my example. Jesus is my mm-hmm. example.
Mm-hmm.
If he was sent here to be an example, that means that I can do what I saw him do.
Yeah.
You don't give a person an example that's impossible for them to follow.
It's not an example.
It's not an example. Right? Okay. So if you sent me an example, his name is Jesus.
I'm with you, homeboy.
Yeah.
And he had to go back to God in order to do what it is he wanted to do. So therefore, you're telling me you are the same God. My name ain't Jesus. His name is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do for him what you did for me. How? I have to believe the same way he believed.
Yeah.
I have to do the same thing he did. I have to always stay in constant relationship with you. Outside of that, I will never accomplish the things that you put me here to do. I won't learn from my example what you wanted me to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could ever get there and realize that I walk this earth, I walk this world, I see what's going on, but there's somebody that lives within me that I'm in constant relationship with that has power over all of that. What can you ever do to me?
Nothing.
Homeboy, I'm going to say it's cliche, but you're preaching to the choir. I really hope, you know, there's somebody out there that's open enough to understand that what you're saying is not blasphemy, but it's the complete opposite. It's true and unfiltered love for who you should have it for, which is God.
Now, let's go this route. And I don't care. This day came up for a reason. What happens tomorrow, I'm concerned with, because I might not be here. So here I go today. That within itself, what you just said, is the mission, I think, of Christianity. We all buy into it. We all accept it. We all think it's right. We all have said, I'm a Christian. What are you saying in that? Christianity gives the power to Jesus. Christianity tells me I should reverence Jesus. Christianity tells me Jesus is that thing that I need to stay. Where's God? Jesus had to go to God. Why can't I go? I thought, if I understood the Bible correctly, Jesus came and his whole sacrifice was so that I could go directly to, through the sacrifice Jesus made, in the name of. But that don't mean I go to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, tell God this way. No, man, hey. He said, we brothers now. So that means mm-hmm. you our father. So I can talk to you in his name. Why church don't teach that? If they do, I'm sorry, I missed it.
Well, it's religion. It's religion is flawed. And I'm going to say this because man got it. Mm-hmm. Man set religion up. Man set Christianity up. Because I'm not sure God would put a name on loving him. Why
right.
can't we just love God?
Right. Exactly.
Jesus exemplified it. Okay, so we have books written on the stories of Jesus, the first example. And I say this all the time. And this may seem blasphemy, but I just want to make a point. Let's take the existence of knowing the time of Christ out of our mind.
Right.
Let's say we came into the world as a newborn baby. And at this point, religion has been swiped out. There's no Christianity. There's nothing. At this point, the person that is the most prominent person to everyone in a religious stance, and I use the spiritual, not religious, in a spiritual stance, is Dr. King. His walk, everything he did, his struggles, the difference between him and Jesus. We see, we know of Dr. King's struggles because we, as in everybody that's here and everybody before us,
was
accounted that. Nobody, people don't know this. The Bible was written 40 years. The Bible, the first gospel of the Bible by Mark was written 40 years after Jesus walked on earth. You know how much time stuff can shift and stories can change? It was 300 years from the time Jesus walked on earth to today that the Bible we know came about. So, it's so much stuff could have happened in that. So you got to take that in consideration. So for 300 years, it was no Bible. For 40, it wasn't even a gospel of a story of Jesus. So at this point, what was going on? It had to be someone there exemplifying a love for God. If a book would have been written on them, and the reason I point out Dr. King, because we've seen Dr. King. If a book would have been written on Dr. King to make him the Son of God, if we wanted to say, this is hypothetical. If I would have wrote the book as man and I was setting up a religion, I would have left out all his flaws. I would have left out the struggle because I would have wanted you to... The only way I can get you to follow something is to give it to you perfect. If I don't give it to you perfect, you're going to say, okay, well, but he did such and such. So if I feed it to you perfect, I can make you buy into my religion. The reason we see Muhammad and Islam, different entity, same situation. I got to give you something to buy into, but you pray to Muhammad. To Allah. You pray to Allah, Muhammad. But this is my religion, so this is who I'm going to put in, at the forefront. So, in understanding that, if I love God with everything in me, I understand my faults. I understand time ain't about time. It's about me loving God. Why am I different from Jesus?
Let me tell you why. Because we're talking about religion. Religion's purpose, and I don't care which religion you talk about.
Right.
Sorry, Christians. That includes Christianity. Whatever religion you talk about, what it does is keeps you from being... You tell me to be a Christian, I need to be Christ-like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he named me Corey. My name is Corey.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I be Corey-like?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I be the best Corey that I could be? The Corey that God put here for me to be. Yes, I respect Jesus. I follow. I understand what it took for Jesus to do what he did. But he put Corey here for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Religion keeps BJ, Billy, Derek, Corey, whoever else out there from being the best you because you're trying to emulate something that you'll never be.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible for you to be Jesus, but you can be BJ. If Jesus himself said, you do more than I did, you do more than I, at least according
mm-hmm.
to the Bible,
mm-hmm.
I leave you to do more than what you saw me do.
He knew.
What you're saying is the people behind you should
transcend.
Exactly. Why it ain't happen?
That's what I was here for. For you to take this example and to build off, not to stop. Jesus did not come here to outshine nobody. He came here to show us the example we should be setting forth. And in doing so, he served us. We didn't serve him. He served us. And that's why the Bible, you see it all the time. You run across it a couple times in the Bible where it says the last should be first. Because you have to serve to be first. You have to. It's all about serving. All Jesus did was serve. That's it. We can put all... You can give me them 30 years that's missing out of the Bible of his life, and I can see his struggle. And I wouldn't care. Because what he did, once he got it, he served.
That would only make me respect him
more. But in taking it out, wherever it is...
You left me the question. And with that question...
That's wrong.
Exactly. Religion. And it's not so much... And I keep going back to this. It's not that I'm trying to degrade or downplay or anything, anybody's beliefs. But what if we thought about it another way?
Mm-hmm.
And it's simply to understand that same God that was in Jesus is in each and every single human being that came after Jesus, even before.
Mm-hmm.
He is still who he is. Religion don't teach us that.
No.
And that's what limits mankind. Jesus was a man.
Yes.
With no limits.
Yes.
Why can't we be?
Yes.
Because we've been, the religion has kept us under that umbrella. You're under the umbrella of religion, so you have a limit. You can never surpass religion. Well, step from out of that umbrella.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Go into spirituality.
God is over that umbrella.
That's what Jesus was. If I'm not mistaken, when Jesus walked, he didn't call what he was doing Christianity, did he?
It wasn't how?
He was just loving God. He was serving and loving God. That was it.
It came about from his name. So after he left, it came about. What was it before that?
That's what it. And if it's Adam and Eve is the beginning, it means, and it was 40 years before we even got any story of Jesus. It had to be something prior to Jesus.
Take it this way. What did Moses believe in? What did David believe
yeah.
in? They didn't believe in Jesus. Jesus wasn't here.
Jesus wasn't here.
What
that's
did
God.
They believe in?
That's direct interactions with God that now we look at, but Jesus has been put on that pedestal in religion. Don't get me wrong, and I keep saying this, and don't take me saying Jesus has been put on the pedestal in a bad way. Jesus deserves all his credit. And I'm going to give it to him. He deserves all his credit. Because what he did is totally out of the reach of us today. That's why we sit here struggling. Mm-hmm. Because it's so hard to come to a point where you can undertake that understanding fully.
Can I say this before I forget it?
Go ahead.
You have the right to vote because mm-hmm. of what? Sacrifices that
right,
the people
right.
before
right.
you
exactly.
laid
right.
down.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So Dr. King and all that, yeah.
When you go to the voting polls and when you walk in a restaurant and you can sit amongst different races and eat, and when you should say thank you to my ancestors.
Right.
When I say thank you, Jesus, I should be saying that because now I realize I can transcend it.
Right.
I'm
right.
not stuck under.
Right.
There's not a limit. You show me.
Want.
Exactly.
Right. That's exactly what he wants.
But religion won't get
religion,
that.
Yeah. Religion doesn't feed it to us that way.
What I feel like, and take it how take it, whatever. Y'all don't say the disclaimers. When I think about it, I think that the reason why we can put Jesus where we put Jesus is because he did not care about what you think.
Yeah, right.
He didn't care about what you thought about him. He didn't care about what box you tried to put
mm-hmm.
him in. He was not in a box.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he was such a... That's why he is where he is now,
right,
because
exactly.
nobody thought like he did.
Right,
everybody, okay,
exactly.
we got to think like this, we got to think like this. You know, this is what they tell us to think. Sorry about that.
Go ahead, Bonnie.
The umbrella. The umbrella you were talking
about.
Yeah,
he is the umbrella. He is that ceiling. When I say he, those of you that may have missed it, I'm talking about Buddy. I'm talking about the devil. You know what I'm saying? He's all, I struggle saying all. But we have to understand that he is involved in things that you would think that he wouldn't, that there's no intention for him to be
right,
involved
right.
in, but he's that crafty of a individual that he can worm his way in there and you not even realize.
Look, we go back, we keep going back, and I'm going to go back again. The book doesn't say be not in religion. It don't say be not in sin. It don't say be not in fornication. It says be in the world, but not of the world. So that word world encompasses everything we know in a carnal life.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you know in a carnal life can be infiltrated by the devil.
Mm-hmm.
That includes your church. Everything. Your job. Your kids. Your marriage, you,
yeah.
everything can be infiltrated by this guy. But he doesn't have power we don't give him. And the power we take from him is understanding how he works,
yeah.
who you are, how you, this is who you are. Religion. We say religion and we hate religion and we talk about religion and religion. But when you think about how long religion has had the control that it has had over people and countries and nations, How is something that's supposed to propel me constantly keep me in conflict? You got countries that don't like Christians. Just the simple fact that you're a Christian, I don't like you. Religion. And we gonna fight back because you don't like my religion? But we all believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
What are we fighting about? He took it, just like everything else, and manipulated it to where we buy in and think we doing the right thing and be ready to die for it. Killing all the time.
It shouldn't be a separation. It shouldn't be a separation in loving God. It shouldn't be at all. It shouldn't be. This is totally my opinion. Religion is not needed. Why are we separating to love one individual God? Because at the end of the day, you can call it what you want. Allah is God. Buddha, I think that's the Buddhism. That thing is God. You believe in a higher being.
The universe.
Nobody's believing.
All of it.
It's one higher being. So why are we separate? It's just like we always say about politics. Why you got Democrats and Republicans? Now we separating two different parties to go against each other to be united. How much sense that makes?
I think I just understood that life, the key to life, I'm going to accept this for me. Nobody else does.
Mm-hmm.
The key to life for me is never losing sight of the fact there's a war going on that I cannot fight on either side. I can't fight. I can only choose which side I'm going to let lead me.
Yeah.
That's the only choice I got. And once I make the choice,
yeah, I stick to it.
And stick with the choice. Life does what it does.
Exactly. We have no control over it anyway.
It does what it does from there.
You get lost in it when you try to control it. You get lost in it. And it ain't for us to control. It's not ours. If we always say it's a gift that God give us a blessing. We see another day. If God is giving you this, it's not yours to control. Live in it with Him.
Get that, homeboy. Get that understanding. And then tomorrow doesn't matter. Tomorrow doesn't matter because you're doing what you should be doing today.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow doesn't matter. In a sense, it doesn't exist.
It's never coming. We say it all the time.
No.
To wrap your brain around it, it's kind of crazy. Like, there is no such thing as tomorrow.
It's like time. It's put there as an expectation that sets us up for failure.
It's part of the matrix.
Yeah. It's
all part of the matrix.
And so you don't see these things. You don't see certain words. And even though the Bible was written 30 years and 400 years after, you don't see certain things we deal with on a basis that they were dealing with back then. There was no separation of the religions. There was no Christianity. God, Jesus didn't call what he was doing anything. He just said he was serving his Father.
Well, you did have people who persecuted.
Right.
The believers or whatever. Now, that's another thing. If Christianity came after Jesus, how were Christians persecuted? In the Bible, who was persecuted? Who was persecuting who?
Wasn't the Jews that were being persecuted?
Because they were a chosen people.
Right.
Okay.
But you still see that today, though. You see the chosen
people.
Still
have the chosen people.
Yeah, you still see the chosen people being oppressed. But the one thing about it is, what was going on right then that God had us understand from having the Bible come about is it's still going on today. Ain't nothing changed.
Nothing changed,
but I understand it.
And the fact that what limits us now, and you can't get to a point where we have more Jesuses or more examples, is because Jesus has been put in religion on a pedestal where you can never get
to. I'm inclined to believe. Martin Luther King was a pastor. He was a preacher.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to believe he stepped outside of religion to do what he did.
Yes.
He had to.
Yes. His understanding and even in the things he stood for, and at the time he was standing, I was listening to a speech he gave on the Emancipation Proclamation, and it was basically a speech that was directing, we don't have no Emancipation Proclamation. And he was giving it and front of a bunch of established ambassadors, the governor, the president. It was who he was. It wasn't a room full of us. It was them he was talking to by himself. So to have that kind of understanding and give that kind of speech at that time, it's the same thing Jesus did. When you brought this coin to him and said, would you give God Caesar's money? He said, who faith on it? Yeah. Caesar. Well, give Caesar what it is and give your father what it is. I'm going to do my mission. You bring whatever you want at me, but I'm going to tell you how it is. The Emancipation Proclamation was put in place. Yes, the slaves are free. But are we free? You see what I'm saying? So for him to go up against that, most people would say, why are you going up against, and we free? Leave that alone. No, I'm not leaving it alone until you understand we ain't free. Mm. And his whole mission, similar to Jesus, was to free his people. You can even go back to Moses. And like you say, Moses was talked about before we even see Jesus come about. But you forget about Moses because religion has chosen to make Jesus to stand out. To stand out, which is not Jesus' walk is commendable. I understand it. I trust in it and I believe it. I can walk the same way. That's what I see in it. I don't see it limiting me.
And I think maybe that's why they chose Jesus.
Right.
Because his walk is something that we can relate to, in a sense. You can't. I mean, while there are some stories in the story of Moses that we can relate to, it's a stretch.
Right.
Jesus.
Is it?
Depending.
Why? Why would you call that, after all the understanding and everything we just talked about in the last 30 minutes, why would you call that a stretch in that moment?
In that moment, because I'm thinking of my limited knowledge of the story of Moses, you know, I don't relate to that.
Why? That's the question I'm asking.
The part not to see you, you're referring to?
That, you know, and...
I don't care what part of it. I just don't know why.
If I say that, I'm saying it simply out of not knowing a whole lot about it.
He's saying he knows more about Jesus because that's who we've been kind of educated on more because Christianity is based around it. And he vaguely knows enough about Moses. So he's going to find himself more relatable to what he know more about.
Moses, anybody who's done anything significant in history, for people, for mankind,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
had to have a vision.
Yeah.
Just think for a second, if Moses sat down with his brother, sister, cousin, whoever, I don't care who you want to put in there, and tell him, this is what I've been told I'm going to do, or this is what I'm showed I'm going to do. Martin Luther King even.
Mm-hmm.
Put him at 17. Man, you know what? Now, I don't know if he had a vision at that age, but let's just say he did. And he's sitting down amongst his friends and be like, man, this is what I'm going to try to do. Can you imagine how crazy they would call him? Can you imagine what they would label him and how they would... Man, well, that man has lost his mind. He think he's going to stand up in front of the country? This guy?
Yeah. His own parents tried to stronghold him at a young age, Dr. King, because he went against them.
What did that tell you, though?
It was more out of protection. It wasn't because I don't really believe they disagreed. I think they was protecting him from what they knew society was.
I'm going this way. I'm inclined to believe that every person on the face of this planet then had a wild and crazy idea.
Mm-hmm.
Something that just seems totally outrageous but made sense to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they chose to express it to anybody else, because I know this is way out there, or they expressed it and got shot down.
Kill it.
Kill it right there.
You're dead.
That was your vision.
Yeah.
Somebody gave you that. Somebody gave, like, your mind just doesn't conceive something supernatural. You're not that intelligent.
And that's a good point. Because you know what I see in that? I see that Dr. King and Jesus had the know-how to follow behind God's walk and let him lead them to it. Well,
he wouldn't let anybody else, nobody else can kill this in you.
Yeah.
Because I put you here to do this.
And they understood that.
So nobody else, whether I don't open your mouth to tell it or whether you just determined to do it, whatever the case may be, nobody can kill this in you. But the average us, me, you, mm-hmm, you, 13 of us, just think if we bit in on that idea that I know it's been popped up in your mind. I know it has. If I step outside of that limitation and believe in a God that can do anything, the same God that gave you that idea, I step out from under the umbrella, focus on him, what can I not do? Who can stop me from doing anything other than me with my beliefs? And I jump back under that umbrella because okay, you're right. I was way out there for a minute. I'm glad you brought me back in. No, leave me alone. If I'm crazy, let me be crazy and leave me alone.
Because that's what they're going to say.
Leave me alone.
He crazy. Just let him go on by his business.
Okay, cool. No problem. But remember, I told you. That's just another example. You can look in 20 years and be like, you know that dude said a hand told us this.
Yeah.
And we thought he was out his rabbit. It's in everybody, man.
Nothing is impossible without God.
Yeah.
Including pardon the thief.
Yeah.
I get you. I understand.
Why is it?
Yeah. Why can't
understand.
We see it? Yeah.
Understand. Understand exactly what you said.
And if you're going to believe, you're going to have to believe all the way.
You're going to believe all the way.
Discredit it. Don't even talk about it if you ain't going to believe it. You talking about God. We ain't talking about Jay-Z. We talking about
God. And when you go back to that, even all these examples we given, even though all of them may not be Jews, you got Job. You got John, the Baptist. You got all these
David,
examples.
Jonah went to the belly of a fish and came out.
Peter, all this. You got all this, but it goes back to one common denominator. We're not going back to Jesus. Jesus got the same thing the rest of them got from the same individual we get it from.
Right.
God.
Exactly. That's why I asked, where did Moses get it from? Where John got it from? Where all them people, I ain't gonna say John, all the people before Jesus, where they get theirs from, that I believe in this.
Right. Abraham.
David to go up and fight a giant. And we talking about a real giant back in them days. We talking about something that a man shouldn't be fighting. But you know what? I can defeat you. Because I believe in something bigger than you. Who would do that?
Yeah. We talking about the age of when you got a slingshot and a rock, no weapon, and you go up against a Goliath.
Religion limits your thinking. Religion limits you as an individual. It's not about you as the individual. It's about what drives you as the individual. I don't need religion to do that. Because religion is going to keep me where religion has kept us for so many years. Marching and praying. Marching and praying. Come on, Lord. We wait.
And it ain't ours.
And he said, I'm inclined to believe he's sitting back just like with that same pose you got. Like, when are y'all going to get it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm here. I'm me. You waiting on me and I'm waiting on you. No, I'm talking. I'm example number one.
Yeah.
What religion and disbelief and doubt and fear and all of that does. I am number one. But let me get this time thing together.
Religion has shaped probably all three of our whole being.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Our whole being. So much so, that's why we find it so difficult now to come out of it. We find it so difficult. And which is really, if you think about it for Dr. King, to be a pastor and to still be able to understand it and be able to walk with both.
If you totally understand God and have that relationship with
God, it don't matter
God,
what you do.
How can you not pastor?
He was. That's why his pastor. He's not even seen as a pastor. You even asked me what he's a pastor, right?
Right.
He's not even seen as a pastor. That's what his trade is. He was educated. He had a doctorate in theology and a bachelor's in communications, I think it is. He was educated in religion, in the understanding of religion, but that's not what he used it to. You have credibility in what he was saying. Everything he said came intrinsically from him. That's the only reason it still resonates this day. Because it's just like the Bible. The stories of the Bible is what God gave us, our journey. The journeys of those at that time. If somebody sat down and wrote a book on us, it would be the journeys of us. 30, 40 years from now, somebody sat down and read it, I bet you they can take something from it.
There is no... If God is not and I'm going back to the Bible, if he's not a respecter of person, that means ain't nobody no more special than the next person.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have extraordinary people?
Yeah.
Why do people do extraordinary things? If God don't respect nobody else more than the next man, why is one man able to do what another man can? That man was able to believe what that first man could.
We want to discredit the fact of our own ability by giving somebody else the credit. Holy.
Now, in religion, who are we giving the credit to? Because we ain't even giving it to Jesus. If you gave it to Jesus, you would still do more than
right.
you do.
Exactly.
So who is the credit really going to in religion?
Man, because you buy into the ways and the understanding of how it's been shaped traditionally. It doesn't even play back into you, understand. Religion is so flawed, man, because you get lost in religion that you will try to straighten somebody. Why are you trying to straighten in religion? Don't straighten in religion. Let's get understanding in God, in spirituality. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like that steady conflict there. Like, if I say something wrong out of the Bible, instead of you saying to me, wait, hold on now, let's sit down and let's discuss this. Because my understanding is one thing and yours is another. No, you're going to come directly tell me what I'm saying is wrong because the way you interpret it. That ain't God.
No.
That ain't religion. God. That ain't God at all. That's religion.
Religion tells us there's one way to do it.
You don't do it,
you don't do it this way right
you are
here.
Wrong.
You're doing it wrong.
And I can tell you that because I'm an upholder of religion.
And how I know that because somebody else told me. How they know because somebody else told them. But all of us got the power to go directly to the source. But we won't do it. Because he's more educated. He didn't study this more than me. He got credentials and I don't. So he know what he's talking about and I don't. That's where the downfall is. Anybody that stand up in front of people, and some may say we doing the same thing. I don't consider it that. I'm just talking from my own understanding. What you do is, hey, good luck to you, because good luck to me. But to anybody who takes on that responsibility and that role to stand up in front of a lot of people and say anything other than pray to God, believe in God, trust in God, I don't know that you're doing the right thing. Me personally, within myself, I can't see how you know something that somebody else doesn't have privy. You got information that they ain't privy to. What?
I'm finna piggyback off that right quick, because I see our time winding out. I'm finna piggyback off that. It almost is like this for religion, especially Christianity. You have Jesus here. God is not, he's there, but he's floating. We just called on him when we're in trouble.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But Jesus is here, then it's the preacher. Mm-hmm. Now, we can't get an understanding that Jesus was human. Okay, I'll give you a pass on that. But you see this dude.
You see him.
You see him. Now, you see he flawed in some of his ways, and you understand it, but you give him a pass. But now, when he tells you something, it's the end all. It's the beginning and the ending to everything. Because he's the pastor. Mm-hmm. What, the last time I checked, not just me now, the last time I checked, the only difference between me and a pastor is he has Reverend or Pastor in front of his name. I have MSW at the end of mine. Does that make me any different than y'all? No. We all sitting here as a co-host of this show. And in that, I understand we all have an understanding. So as a pastor, and I'm not saying all do this, but as a pastor, you are not the beginning and the end. It's not that.
Can I? Because we've said, okay, you got the umbrella, and I'm going on what you just said. The umbrella is here, and God is floating out here. So what if we stop the story right there, and we realize that God is not floating out here somewhere? He's here.
Mm-hmm.
What does the umbrella do for me?
What is it? What is it shielding you from? What is it protecting you from? What is it?
There's nothing unless you walk under.
I don't even see the umbrella is outside of where he is.
Unless you walk under, that's the only time. And you pop your head, you got God right there, and you understand.
He lives within all of us in religion. It may tell us that, but it don't focus on that. If we all understood that the same God that we give so much reverence to lives within you.
Mm-hmm. This is the thing. I don't want people to think I'm bashing pastors, because I'm not. This is the thing. I just want you to understand a pastor is no different than you. That's what I'm saying. Yes, he's chosen, he's been called to do a certain thing, and he leads the people and understand. But you can do the same thing if you transcend your mind to believe in God the same way. That's the only difference. Don't ever think that you should limit yourself in anything. If you believe like I believe, God is nothing impossible with God. The pastor is just like you, because he should be believing the same thing. If not, there's a problem.
That's the only message he should have for me.
That's it.
What else can you tell me outside of that that's going to benefit me?
You can give me advice. I'll take advice on your life and your experiences because we all have journeys.
Right. But that's anybody.
But yeah. But I'm saying you're not the authority. Because it's almost seen as, and we even said this ourselves, when we talk to pastors, you almost back down or won't say certain things to them or they'll answer and you just, okay, he said it, so that's what it is.
They won't allow you to. Try it. I'm just saying.
I never have. I just came to the understanding that I really do it. So
you
I never
would be seen
it.
As disrespectful for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, by everybody. That's why I said, there you go with that. Yeah. Here go this.
I could be sitting in your presence,
committee.
And you don't give the respect that I feel like you should give a pastor. I'm looking at you, cock-eyed.
Yeah.
I might not even talk to you for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Because that man lost his mind.
That man, what you doing, man? You just going to disrespect the pastor like that? But, I mean,
what's the difference?
What's the difference between the pastor and me?
Yeah.
I'm with y'all. Okay? I want y'all to know that off rip. I'm with y'all. I'm saying this for those people that might be listening that saying all three of them niggas going to hell. Okay? This is why I think we as humans are limited. Alright? This is why we limit ourselves. Because of things like religion, because of, you know, in a sense, politics. You know, these rules that we put on ourselves. Who says that I can't be Jesus, I can't be like Jesus? Who says that other than you? Man.
Mm-hmm.
You putting limitations on me in order to control me.
Mm-hmm.
When in my essence, I know good and damn, excuse me. I know good and well. All
right.
This just feels right. Me going straight to the source feels right. It feels like that's what I should be doing. I feel uneasy, uncomfortable, timid in some cases when I deal through religion.
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh, okay, I can't. I gotta dress a certain way. Okay. I gotta talk a certain way. Okay. I can't see the pastor. I can't talk to the pastor. I gotta go talk to the deacon first.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Check this out. I want to bring this down to a level where there's a pond. No, there's a well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the well is big enough to water the world.
Mm-hmm.
We all need this well because we all need water.
Right.
There are guards surrounding this well.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to the guards in order to get the water.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when the guards take a break and they don't come back? They go on vacation. Am I not supposed to drink water because you ain't here?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I give anybody when the well has, when they told me that the well is open for me, why would I allow somebody else to control what I take from the well? That's on me.
Yeah.
I can go to this well whenever I choose. I can dive in the well, swim around in the well, and it ain't going to affect what nobody else get out the well. Because the well is for me just like it is for you.
Yeah.
But I'm choosing to continue to go to this God and say, can I please have some water? Can you please give me some water? Can you please give me some water? What happens when he tell you no?
Hmm.
What happens when he spit in your water? All pastors ain't right. Some of them are. I believe pastors have a purpose, and that is for some people who are lost. We all are lost in one way or another. It's just when you give them total and complete control over your relationship. When they dictate your relationship, you're in a bad place. You're in a bad place. That is the problem with religion. I want to say again, I do not have anything against church. I do not have anything against a pastor. I do not have anything against a person calling themselves Christian. I do not have a problem with anything that goes on in this world. Just understand it a little differently. That's my whole thing. We misguided in it. I think we've been misguided in it, and we continue to allow ourselves to be misguided in it. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it, and I hope the listeners were able to take this in if nothing else. This is not, we're not saying we the end and the beginning to this conversation either. we not putting ourselves on that pedestal. This is our understanding. This is our, all that is our own understanding we've got through our spirituality. Yours may be different. We're open to hearing it. We're open to discuss it with you. However you if you feel the need to call in, please, by all means. By all means. I would love to get this conversation out there because I think it's a dialogue that needs to be had. On top of that, it goes back to what we said in church, Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved, dog. It comes back to our own understanding. It is what it is, and you got it. I respect your understanding, respect mine.
I want to. This is my last thing on the podcast.
Go ahead.
I promise you, at least for this show. Look at it this way: if you got to the gate, would you want your pastor to be the person to speak up for you to get you in, or would you be want to be able to speak for yourself to get in? Now, if pastor is the person that you want to speak for you, that means you're serving pastor.
And that's the whole concept we're trying to draw out of this conversation. Serve God. That's what Jesus did. That's what Dr. King did. And that's what we would want our pastors to do. Because at the end of the day, if we all serving God, we unite. It's a united front. Then you don't need to be, I don't need to be no Christian. What am I? I'm a child of God.
That's all I need to be.
That's the one thing they got. I know we had this conversation before, and I probably shouldn't go here now, but it's some parts of the Bible where you find it's flawed because it's man-written and it's contradiction. So in that, the one part they got right is we a child of God. I believe that with everything in me and everything on love in there, because you can't hide from love. One thing about love, we can be mad with love. We can be upset, and we might say we never love again. But the understanding we have for love never changes.
Okay.
It never changes.
This is embedded.
Man, Bone, what you got, man? This has been a good conversation, boy.
We supposed to be talking about life.
Life.
That is life.
We did talk about life.
That's
the
life.
Whole show. Look, man. Love God, love yourself. Everything else will fall in line. I'm out.
See?
He said it for me.
Hey, man. I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed the boys. I enjoyed going here in this conversation because it's a conversation I've been wanting to have for a long time. And it's a conversation I was a little hesitant to have on air. But I've understood today, if I didn't know before today, that God is moving in my life in ways that I have no control over. And I'm going to let him. I'm just going to let him. And I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to be fine in it. Because like I told you, I was in denial for a long time. Now, my legacy may be unsung. I'm okay with that. Because unsung doesn't mean it wasn't heard. It just means in the moment you didn't get it. But it's there.
It's there.
It's there. It's there. Hey, man, with that, if your boys ain't got nothing, we'll close this thing up, man. With that being said, lock your doors, but open your hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. Boys in unison.
TOAB
out.
Just one word. much to expect to anymore. Cause greater is he that is within me than he
that's in the world.
I ain't got time to be thinking about what I did or where would I be if I didn't do this. Cause God is still God and he's good to me, and I ain't got no time to
worry.
I should've been dead and in my grave, but you said no, let's behave. You came and sued my life and picked me up my head. You raised, you didn't give up on me, and today I can say I'm saved. I just can't go back now. I'll find who you Lord, and I'm